Welcome to the Homeschool Loftcast, a podcast presented by the Homeschool Loft in De Pere, Wisconsin. Our goal at the Loft is to encourage parents who educate their children at home and let them know that they are both called to and empowered for the task of home-based education. At the Loft itself, we offer one-on-one consultations, book clubs and discussion groups, workshops and seminars, and a curriculum viewing library. Through the Loftcast, we extend our reach to encourage and bless homeschooling parents everywhere. I'm Tina Hollenbeck, and I'm not alone in the studio today, but Jenny is not with us today because she's feeling a little bit under the weather. So I have the privilege by myself today to speak with one of my favorite homeschooling families. And I don't know, I think I mentioned this to the mom of the group a little while ago, but this family, the Agans, are one of the primary reasons that my husband and I homeschooled our children, following their example when we were college students, actually at church, and just seeing what they were doing with their family as homeschoolers. And so I am pleased, very pleased to have most of the Agan family with me here today. I have Julie, the mom, Nathan, Joshua, and Matthew, the sons. Nels, the dad, and Jerusha, the daughter, are not here with us today, but I'm so thrilled that you guys are all here, and I'm so looking forward to our conversation. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Julie, let's start with you. When exactly did you and Nels decide to homeschool the kids, and why did you make that decision?
Well, I can give you a little history first. Nate, of course, is the oldest, and it was quite exciting when he went off to school to kindergarten many years ago.
You're still young though, right, Nate?
Right.
And it was, I still remember the first day we lived in the country, so he had to catch a bus. And he went skipping down the driveway because he was so excited to be heading off to school. Mm-hmm. And that was just kind of a mixed bag, as most moms know. It's sure. Kind of, you hate to see him go, but it's nice to see him excited. So he went to the public school. Mm-hmm. And then a couple years later, Josh went to the public school too. And then we noticed some things that were just kind of bothersome. And so they had a great kindergarten teacher. Both of them did, the same teacher, and she was great. But then as they moved up, it wasn't as great. And so we started doing some thinking. And about that same time, the Christian school was going to be starting nearby. Mm-hmm. So we thought, well, let's give that a try and see how that works. And so that was the next step. And both Josh and Nate went to the Christian school. Great teachers, great people, mm-hmm. very good experience. The administrator was terrific. So we had all kinds of positive things happen mm-hmm. there. So that was good. But then Matt was going to start kindergarten. Mm. And what Nels and I had seen was that nobody liked learning anymore.
Oh.
And so Matt went to try out the kindergarten, got to visit the teacher and everything. Mm-hmm. And I came home that day and said, I can't do it. Wow. I can't do it again, because he was eager to learn and I was concerned about what might be happening. So that's when we decided to homeschool.
Wow. So Jerusha never went to a school away from home.
No, and actually Matt didn't either because he just visited.
And I do remember visiting, and I do remember the teacher too. So, and I was excited to go. I remember that. And she seemed like a really nice lady and like I was going to enjoy it. But
was that confusing for you when all of a sudden it was like, well, you're not going after all?
I don't remember it being confusing, because then I remember being super excited when we got, when I started homeschooling too.
Josh and Nate, how did you guys feel? So you were pulled out at that point.
Yeah, it was kind of mom and dad, although in the background they had made the decision, it was great. They looped us in by calling a family meeting, which up to this point, we've only had a few of those in our short young lives.
So something big was up.
Yes, yes. And so the question was posed is, what do you think about being homeschooled? Mm-hmm. And so we talked through that. And well, I'll get into my story in a minute, but yeah.
Josh, what did you think when they said this is what we're doing?
Yeah, I think I had kind of mixed feelings about it. I think I was not sure I think I liked school enough well enough that I mm-hmm. thought, you know, what is this going to be like? You know, why wouldn't I go back? And I had friends, you know, and I, you know, I think I was thinking maybe I wouldn't, be able to maintain those relationships. And so, yeah, I think I was a little concerned. But I think I was maybe more like a wait and see than mm-hmm. let's not do this.
How old were you guys when this happened, by the way?
So was it 86? Okay. So I would have been 9. Okay. And Nathan would have been 11.
I would have been 6.
OK.
Okay. And then Jerusha was just a little thing at that
she
point.
She was four. Right?
Okay. Okay. So 1986, I know that in Wisconsin, the homeschool law only came into being in, my understanding is it was written in 83 and finally passed in 1984.
Yes. And what a wonderful bill that is.
It is. And so, I mean, literally you guys were seriously at the beginning of this and almost, I would say, part of the modern homeschooling movement, even if you weren't part of having the law written and passed.
Right.
What was it like to be pioneers at that time?
I guess I didn't think we were pioneers because they had a law. So, okay, you wouldn't have a law if there wasn't a group of people doing it.
Did you know how recently it had been passed?
Not initially, but okay. I soon discovered and have been grateful to WPA for all the work that they put into it to make it successful.
Yeah.
And then Nelson and I had listened to Focus on the Family for a number of years mm-hmm. with our young family. We were blessed by that. And that's where we first heard about homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And so when we decided maybe not going back to the Christian school again, we re-listened to programs and were thinking we could do this maybe. Mm-hmm. And then I read an article about homeschool group in Green Bay that was going to be meeting at the public library.
Ah.
And so that I went to that, of course, yeah. and then met some really wonderful women that were homeschooling their kids and had been for a while. So they kind of took us under their wing mm-hmm. to help us out.
So the Focus on the Family episode, was that one of the ones with Dr. Raymond Moore?
Yes, Ray and Dorothy Moore. Okay. Yes.
I just listened to that broadcast again. Somebody shared a YouTube version of that okay. audio, which I've heard before. And I regularly tell people that they need to get any of the Moore books that they can, mm-hmm. Even if they have to buy them and they're a little expensive or whatever, because he was so inspiring, it seems.
Right. Yeah, that really was a great opportunity to hear them.
So as far as your career kind of trajectory, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I don't yeah. know. Yeah. How to get into
no,
that
we
later,
should get into that, too, because you had a paid career as well when you decided to do this. And that must have been a big shift for you.
Yes. But actually, before we decided to homeschool, I had already made the decision to stop working in my practice.
Okay.
I felt God was...
You were a veterinarian.
I was a veterinarian, yes. Small animal veterinarian. And I just felt God telling me that I should be willing to let go of the practice that I had started. Mm-hmm. And so I thought to myself, well, sure, but nobody's going to buy this practice. You know, I mean, who wants to come to a little town and all that? So I put it up for sale knowing that it wasn't going to sell. And I had two potential buyers. So, okay, this must mean that God wants me not to be doing this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was the following year then into the next year where we decided we were going to homeschool. So God had prepared the way.
For sure. Yeah. You didn't have that stress of now what immediately. You could just take care of it. So, yeah. Excellent question. Did you guys face any legal trouble because you were at the beginning of this process in Wisconsin?
We didn't face any legal trouble, but we had heard via just other people's situations that maybe it's best if you don't do a lot of out in the community in the middle of the day, which so we kind of followed. But because of things we did, we were out anyway. But that was the only thing that really we were affected by, just advice to maybe be a little careful.
There were stories about people calling yes. and reporting truancy or something if
right.
they saw that.
Right.
Well, yes. with it being so new at that time, actually, that wouldn't surprise me if people thought those kids should be in school, right?
Right. It made sense.
Most people probably didn't even realize that homeschooling was a thing at that point.
Right. Yeah. So. A lot of people were educated through the years. Now everybody knows what it is.
Yeah. And I do remember a couple of times we were out and someone would come up to us and ask, why aren't you in school?
How did that make you feel?
Well, I had a ready answer. Oh, I'm homeschooled. You know, so I didn't think twice about it.
Just going along, right?
Yeah, and then they'd be like, what is that?
What about any backlash from extended family or friends? Because obviously a lot of people were not doing what you all were doing at that time.
We had some of our family were teachers in the public school system, and they weren't really thinking that we should do this for various reasons. Mm-hmm. And so we were never ostracized or anything. We had a loving family, the extended family, but it was, yeah, it was different for them too, to sure. think about it.
Well, and if I can share just one of the reasons that, and maybe this is one of the better ones that I heard later, but just, they were saying you shouldn't deprive the school system of bright kids, you know? And I think I guess I'm complimenting us, but you know, they thought we were bright
well,
kids.
And involved parents and all of that. Right. I've heard that argument too.
Yeah, and they don't want to deprive the school system of that. So I remember that was kind of a big deal for them.
Mm-hmm. And the socialization thing, right? I think
some relative
who said, who was very concerned we wouldn't be socialized.
Well, and that was actually one of the hesitations for my husband, Jeff, was, you know, he had met all of you when we were in college and actually hung out with Nate quite a lot. And he thought it was very cool, but his parents were both public school teachers and they have a great relationship and he didn't want them to be offended or hurt. And so just trying to figure out, how do you explain to them, this is not saying anything about you. It's just our calling, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was, I think that a lot of people struggle with that. So did you find anybody who was like actively supporting you besides the homeschool group that you joined? Church people or anything?
Yes, I think people were for it. It was kind of a novelty to some of them and they thought, well, sounds good. Yeah, do it. So it wasn't too bad. We had a really positive experience. One set of the grandparents told us just a few months later that they had seen a great change in the kids and that they couldn't be happier. And this was the one set of grandparents who were very hesitant about it, but kind, but still, they gave us positive feedback that helped.
Good. They saw the fruit just right away. Yes. So, all right. What about curriculum? And guys, I'm going to let you guys talk pretty soon, but I'm just, nowadays we are inundated with homeschool curriculum, like tons and tons and tons. It overwhelms parents because there's so many choices. What did you use back in the day? Because my sense is there wasn't nearly so much.
That's very true. But there was Mary Pride in her big book of homeschool learning that came out in the early years. So that was helpful. And there were enough to get by. And of course, you can create your own materials too. But we ended up being able to find enough to start the first year. Okay. And then we spread out after that when we find more resources.
I think, Mom, you should also mention that that's sort of what launched Birch Court Books, because I think that's a huge part of our homeschooling experience.
Do tell.
Well, one thing that the Moores suggested was having some kind of family project or family business, something you could do together. And the only thing I knew a lot about at that point was books. So we decided that we would start selling homeschool books.
Oh, wow.
And other things too. And so we did. And we would go to homeschool conventions, primarily the local ones.
Yeah.
And had a lot of fun doing that. I think the reason Nate likes it is because he had fun demoing some of the educational games and stuff. Yeah.
Well, that and I got paid.
Did you all get paid or only Nate?
Yeah, I don't remember anything about getting paid.
Well, it was the free lunch. Yeah.
That's funny. How was Nels involved in all of this? And I'm assuming he was on board right away too.
Oh, he was. Yeah. He was definitely supportive. And he's the one who stayed working.
Yes.
So we could afford to do this. He had a job where he could, would sometimes be home at different times during the day. So he would like to be able to interact with the kids more often if he was able to come home for lunch or
whatever. He's a veterinarian as well.
He's a veterinarian too. Yeah. And then he was, at least for the, I don't remember how many years, but he was the Fayette teacher.
Oh.
And so... went to the park and played various games. And I don't recall everything, but it was pretty interesting. I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it was usually Wednesdays with Dad. So it was really fun because he'd always set up something for us to do outside, weather permitting. And it was great. A lot of fun memories.
Very cool. Well, now I do want to bring you guys into the conversation a little bit more and hear more about your stories. So we heard, you know, that it wasn't a huge shock when the two of you got pulled out. Josh was more reluctant maybe than Nate. But Nate, you alluded to, you know, your story. So why don't you go into that a little bit more and then we'll have Josh and Matt talk about them too.
Yeah. So what Mom said, it was a really bad experience actually for the public school. And the older I've gotten, I've looked back on that and I would say definitely was bullied before bullying was a thing.
Okay.
And so I think what Mom and Dad were seeing were just signs of that. It's interesting because looking back on that family meeting, I was the most resistive of all the kids.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want it. I was so afraid I was going to lose all my friends. I wouldn't have a social life. Mm-hmm. And so I really didn't want to do it. I protested loudly.
Even though you were being bullied, too.
Yeah, well, because at that point I was out of the public school and I was at Green Bay Christian for 2 years. And it was a good experience. But again, what I've learned later, looking back on it, at least at that time, a lot of the problem kids parents would send to the Christian school, hoping that the Christianity of the school would straighten them out. And so it really didn't help with my exposure. You know, it just carried on from what I had seen at the public school level.
And so what changed you from being resistant to being a homeschool supporter?
I think about 2 weeks.
Did you get to sleep in a little bit later? Was that the thing?
Yeah. Well, mom tells her, she still laughs about it, but because it was so ingrained in us, we still made her set up a flag and we still had to say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. And
don't forget the bell for recess.
Yeah, we needed the bell for recess. Yeah.
Was that your idea, Julie? Or the,
no.
Okay. See, everything she had read said, hey, this is great. You don't have the same rules as the school. You can be flexible, but we wouldn't let her.
How long did that go on, the whole bell thing and all of that?
Each year we have a little less structure, a little more freedom. It's probably a couple of years.
Yeah, I remember getting different bells because we wore out the first year's bell. We had to get another bell for the next year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny. So, Josh, you were a little bit concerned about socialization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you wouldn't have called it that because you were nine, but
no. It was just, you know, I had friends. Yeah.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah. But no, I think once I got into the swing of homeschooling, I ended up liking it a lot. And, you know, it was nice to be able to have more input on what I was studying and, you know, go at my own pace, you know, because I typically pretty fast and, you know, in the Christian school at getting assignments done and stuff like that. So then I ended up sitting around for a lot, you know, which is okay. I just got to read or something, but at least with homeschooling, then, you know, you can kind of finish your work quickly and then you can do other things.
Right. Did you, okay. So when you were getting done quickly in the schools, did you ever get in trouble for goofing off?
No, I was pretty good little kid. I remember like one incident where the teacher reprimanded me for talking when we were in line or something like that. And I was a very compliant child.
Mine was quite the opposite. I was always getting in trouble because I couldn't sit still.
Oh, okay. All right. So you had a little bit of a wiggle worm problem going on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, you knew the brothers had been in school. And even though you only had that one meeting the teacher or whatever, did you ever have a time when you wished you could have experienced school?
I probably did. I don't remember that. I know I visited my brothers, like, and I would go for a day at the Christian school. And I especially remember in Josh's class, I went there for a day and I still remember some of his classmates. And so I really liked it, you know, the environment. So I don't, you know, I wasn't like, I was excited about school, but I don't remember feeling any regret. I don't know, Mom, if I expressed any of that, but
I don't remember hearing.
No, I think I was just, you know, I didn't know what to think of it, but I was just very excited to be learning, like Mom said. And so that really, I still remember getting the first school books and Mom telling me these were going to be your books. And I was so excited about these books.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. How did Jerusha feel?
She was all for having the brothers home.
Oh yeah, I bet. Right. She probably missed you guys. And then all of a sudden you're back. And
right. Cause she would have been alone when Matt off to kindergarten. So yeah, no, she liked it and wanted to read as soon as possible.
Well, that makes sense knowing who she is now. We can talk about that later, right? So you had a four-year-old as you were getting used to educating the three boys. How did you juggle that? Because sometimes parents worry about that as well.
It was pretty easy with Jerusha because she was, if she had her own books, if she had her own art materials, whatever, she would just sit at the table and be part of the group if they were there and absorbed a lot. So it was real positive.
So including her in the mix rather than sending her off to a corner to kind of keep herself occupied would be maybe a good tip that people.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Good to know. What about, all right, we're going to talk about the socialization thing again for all of you. I think people would think, oh my goodness. Okay. 1980s, 1990s, there was a homeschool group we know in this city, but there weren't any other homeschoolers. How could you actually hang out with people and meet people and have friends and do activities? How did you do that? Because, you know, I know you personally, you guys are all so unsocial, right?
Yeah. So I'll take a stab at this, but for me, I think it took a while because you're used to a very structured environment that things are loose, you know, and that you can relax. And I don't remember exactly when, but one day I realized I was laying on the couch reading a book and I couldn't believe I was actually there. But maybe Mom remembers more about that. But because really when we started, you know, I was sitting at the kitchen table. And so when you think of socialization, you know, just being around each other can be so relational.
Yeah.
And I think without realizing it, that we had missed that, you know, being a family, because we are a very close family. And so for us, I think just being together, like my playmate was Josh, was Matt, was Shaw. And, you know, through the years, you have different partners that you're more close to as siblings go. But to have all of us at home, it was really fun. Because then, like Josh said, as soon as the work was done, we could go outside. And as soon as I figured that out, man, I'd wake up early, I'd get all my work done, and I'd be the first one on it. Well, except for math. I had to do laps around the house to get through math. Anyways, we'll get into that later. But yeah,
talk to my daughter Rachel about that.
So yeah, and so then as time went on, I mean, the youth group at church becomes very important. So our church family took on, a different role in our lives. So for me, especially, like, youth group was really important. You know, like, Jeff was very helpful.
Yeah, he was a youth group helper. He wasn't an official leader,
but just having those external relationships for me, because, you know, one of the experiences that I think mom and dad really emphasized was learning how to relate to adults. I love mom. She has a great quote. She says, you know, you're going to spend the rest of your life relating to adults. So learn now. And so she would teach us, you know, like, making eye contact, and we had to look, you know, people in the eye. And then the story goes that she would get reports from people at church if we made eye contact. So we had at least one conversation with an adult that we made eye contact with. And so
smart move, Julie.
Yeah. So
the help of the congregation. I love it.
And then too, so the socialization expands. You know, I was involved in 4-H. So is Josh. He can talk about that too. But, you know, there was 4-H clubs. We were involved in music. So the Green Bay Youth Symphony Orchestra provided an opportunity there. So there was just lots of, even though it wasn't as formal. And then, you know, I don't know how far you want me to go, but in the high school years, Valley Christian Homeschool Association had a husband and wife who homeschooled their kids, the Brinscos, and they wanted to form like a student council, student body. And so it was really neat. We had to run for office, and we were the head of the student body. It was a small group, maybe 50, 60 youth, but it was, we would do a fundraiser. We would do a community service, and it was just a great learning experience. You know, we had to learn the Robert Rules of Order. And so that taught us sort of formal process, formal meetings. And then we also have fun doing events with that. So As the years went on, we had more and more opportunity to socialize. Yeah. So.
I should break in here and explain one little thing about Nate. When he was reluctant to homeschool, Nelson and I promised him that he could have kids over every weekend for as long as he wanted to do that. And we would let him have that, because that was socialization or friends.
Yeah.
Was like really important for him.
It was.
How long did that last?
What would you say? Long time?
Yeah. Forever? All through. Oh yeah. Okay. Pretty much all through high school. Yeah. You know, cause we just before or right after we started going to New Hope Presbyterian Church, and that's before. Where just before,
yeah, 1984, right? 1984. Yeah.
Yeah. So at that time there were three, young men who were my age at New Hope. And we formed a very close bond.
Yeah.
And so they would come over to my house and I'd sleep over, or they'd sleep over a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh, what about you and social things and extracurriculars?
Yeah, it's a similar story to Nate's. I think, you know, I mean, church was primary, you know, always, you know, time just hanging around, you know, before, after the services, you know, at the youth group, the kids' classes, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I might add, you know, so, and then I was in the same youth groups and everything too, as Nate. So I was kind of riding his coattails in terms of socialization, because I think I'm probably much more of an introvert than Nathan is, but it was good for me to, you know, be in those environments. And then, I think we had some neighbors too, you know, that were, similar ages to us. So we got to know them pretty well and spend time with them too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what can you add to that?
Well, I would just add that, again, emphasizing that Nate is probably the most extroverted of us. So, yeah, I also, church was the biggest thing for me. So the neighbors actually were older than me, so I didn't get a whole lot with neighbors either. So for me, I would say it was church and then the homeschool group. There were some friends and families we did more things with, and they had kids my age, and we got a lot of interaction there. And for a while, there was even a family in our little town of Seymour. So we had... That's probably where I got the most socialization, church, and then in the homeschool group. I was really thankful for that homeschool group, because it did really provide a lot of interaction in various ways, whether it was a field trip that they would take or just going over to somebody's house for fun, you know, and hanging out.
Yeah.
I'm curious. This is Josh again. I'm just curious from mom's perspective. I mean, I guess a lot of this must have been intentional that we were doing these extracurricular activities, but do you think this was the socialization piece, like, a really intentional, like, even with our neighbors and stuff, were you kind of orchestrating some of that, or did it just happen organically?
No, that happened organically. Yeah. everybody was, we lived in a friendly neighborhood. So we had, it was easy to, for the kids to connect and do football in the front yard or yeah. whatever.
And you didn't just have to talk to other homeschooled kids, lo and behold, right? Right. You were limited just to that. Nate, you alluded to sibling relationships and making, realizing that they were closer than because of being home together. What can all of you add to that? And also guys, your relationship with your parents for having to be home, not having, but getting to be home and having that extra time than you would have if you'd gone away to school for 8 hours a day.
I mean, this is Josh again, from my perspective, I think we were very close, you know, even to this day, mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's just no substitute for that much time spent together, you know,
sure. So.
And thankfully we got along pretty well. I think, I don't know, because it depends on who you ask and when, you know,
we may have to get Julie's take on that. I don't know.
Right. But we had a lot of fun together. So a lot of memories.
What about parent relationships, you know, relationships with your parents?
That's right. You were ignoring that issue.
Yeah. So I'm a mom. I'm going to get it that one in for you, Julie. So.
Yeah. Well, it really, very close, you know, because obviously we're around with mom and dad a lot. And so we learned how to divide and conquer for sure. No, I'm kidding. But no, it was really good. It was really good because your parents become even more of a mentor, you know, and a friend as you develop those relationships. So it was, I think, a relatively easy transition into adulthood because we had so much time together. We really got to know one another.
This is not in our set question, so hopefully it won't be a loop for you guys too much. But Julie, I'm thinking about one of the things that people fear, along with like homeschooling while you have babies and toddlers, that kind of thing, is homeschooling in the teenage years. You know, can't handle the teenagers. They're going to rebel. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Did you have any of that that you had to work through?
No, I had heard speakers give advice and I read articles. And what I liked was that teenagers are really not going to be any different if you don't expect them to be any different. And so we didn't expect trouble and we didn't have any trouble. Mm-hmm. It was just a normal growing up and it was wonderful. So I think that that's probably some of the best years because we were more able to communicate at an adult level. And I think it was great.
Yeah. I would definitely add that mom and dad were very adept at handling the different personalities. Mm. I don't know where that came from, but they did great because I could see, you know, as the oldest, how they interacted with Josh and Matt and me and Sha was all different, the way they would handle different situations.
I think, Julie, that advice is so key. And I totally agree with you because before we had the girls, I taught middle school and high school and people were like, what? You can't, how can you stand being with people like that? And I just never assumed that I would have trouble, even though they weren't my children. They were just my students. I think treating them with a level of respect, like I'm not going to expect you to misbehave. And therefore they really all behaved for me, even though one would think they wouldn't. Right.
Right.
And even then for the girls, especially when they were, you know, my own children, I don't know if you've heard of this book, it's called Age of Opportunity. I think it's Paul David Tripp. I can never remember which Tripp has written that one. The subtitle of that book is how to help or how to thrive, not just survive your kids' teenage years. And it's not a homeschool book per se, but it's definitely a Christian parenting book. Mm-hmm. And that just always struck me is that why would you all of a sudden assume that your kids, when they reach the teenage years, but if you do assume, it's probably going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Very likely.
Right? So I think it's good for people to hear that it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
So, yeah. Very good. All right. What did you all enjoy most about your homeschool experiences? If you had to narrow it down.
I mean, I probably touched on this already, but just the flexibility and the ability to kind of work at my own pace and have some input on what I was studying, I think really encouraged me to stay interested all the time. So that was definitely my favorite part.
Yeah, I guess for me, it would be pretty much the same too. I think it was the flexibility, especially in high school. I remember that mm-hmm. well, that I could really tailor to what I wanted to study and, mm-hmm. you know, with obviously including all the necessary subjects, but I really like that. And then the flexibility for sure. I mean, when I was young, I do remember I really enjoyed being with my siblings. That was really fun mm-hmm. and getting to be home. But mom did a really good job of making it very fun all the time and incorporating different special activities and whether that was something organized with the homeschool group or just we're going to go out and do something on our own for fun out in the community or go somewhere else. Yeah. It was just that flexibility and being able to do special like Christmas activities around Christmas, whatever it was. Just it also, we haven't really touched on it yet, but we did a lot of extracurriculars and things like music. We, you know, I did a, took different music lessons, and my sister take dance, and we could do these other things. Yeah. And sometimes we had the flexibility. I remember my music teacher just saying, oh, I love homeschooling students. I mean, I was her first one, but then in later years, she was saying how great it was because they're so, they can come in the middle of the afternoon and for lessons, it's great. And just that, again, that flexibility, even for being able to do, pursue so many different areas of interest that whereas that school, if I were in school at that time, it would really get in the way of that. So just really being able to flourish as we're being, parents are adapting to us, you know, what we need and want.
Yeah. So I would add, I agree. I echo what Matt and Josh said, that flexibility was amazing because I think for me, Mom mentioned, you know, my love for learning was lost, but it was regained, you know, through the homeschooling experience because we could tailor things that I was interested in. Like I loved American history. So for a lot of the history courses, we focused as much as we could on American history. And, you know, math, I struggled significantly in math, but to meet the collegiate requirements, I could finish that, you know, essentially, I think it was my freshman or sophomore year of high school. It was just really nice to have that kind of flexibility to tailor the learning to what we needed. And then I think from the social aspect, what Matt said, you know, I love to swim. And through homeschooling, you know, I ended up becoming a lifeguard, which, you know, was a lifelong, I shouldn't say lifelong at this point, but got me through young adult years. You know, I was able to work all over the United States as a lifeguard. So I think, you know, just those opportunities that we had as homeschoolers were just phenomenal. I think, you know, for us starting early, the hardest part for me was missing out on sports.
Oh, yeah.
Because we didn't have the club sports that we do now. And Dad willingly, much against, I think, what he wanted to do, took me to the Seymour High School because at that time we had a really good football coach. You know, Seymour did well traditionally in football. And I wanted to try out. I wanted to do whatever I could. And I think Dad just knew that this wasn't going to happen, you know, because like a lot of schools, he had his team picked out from young on. But, you know, but in the end, you know, high school is such a short time in a child's life that in the whole grand scheme of things, I do way more now with sports probably than someone who had blown out their knee in high school, for example, you know, it's just
that's a good point.
And would have never made it pro anyways, you know, but just to have that opportunity, I think it's been wonderful.
Julie, do you have any fondest memories that stand out?
I guess I have a sort of a cumulative fond memory. I went into this knowing, or Nelson and I did, knowing that this was what God wanted us to do. But, and we were anticipating the kids are going to learn, they're going to like it. This is going to be a really positive thing for them. But we didn't know how blessed we were going to be by doing it. And there's just no other experience that could equal what we had in doing that.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? What were some of the things that contributed to that, that blessing that you
felt? Getting to know our kids.
Yeah.
We really got to know our kids. We spent so much time with them. And that's something that so many parents don't have the opportunity to do. And I don't think you realize that you've missed it. It's just not in your toolbox or whatever. You don't know about it. But going through it, it was we early on discovered how God was blessing us.
What about, I experienced this, maybe you didn't, I don't know. Sometimes people are afraid to homeschool because they are not patient or they're this or they're not that. And one of the things I learned through our homeschooling experience was that God used homeschooling to sanctify me. You know, like you're working on your kid's character and all of that, but it's like, all right, God says, you know what, you need to work on this. You need patience and I'm going to give it to you in your children that you are with all day long. And so I tell people, it's not that you have to be patient to homeschool. I think maybe you have to be willing to become it.
I think that's true. Yeah. And you don't know what's going to be needed of you per se. It varies individually. We're all so different. So different things will be needed, but God works through us and provides what we need.
And to trust. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you know from the get-go that you'd do it all the way through high school graduation, or did you not, were you not sure year to year, or?
I hoped that we would be able to do it.
Okay.
But didn't know what God had in store. So we were just kind of, I think you maybe all remember us saying, we're going to do this 1 year at a time.
Okay.
So that's how we did it.
And I do know, as the third oldest, it was helpful to see my brothers going through it successfully. I think in the back of my mind, as I got older, there was this part of, wow, I wasn't in public school or private school, will I be able to handle it? You know, thinking like somehow they had that magic, those couple of first years set them upright. And so just imagine that. And I remember I had a close family friend who was in the public schools and he was getting bullied and he was struggling so much in the public school. And I'm like, please, please don't send me there. Right. So I was just terrified that I would have the same experience because he'd tell me about it every time we get together. And I'm just like, this poor kid, and that could be me.
There, where we used to live when the girls were growing up, a school bus would stop right in front of our house. And I think it was like they had a few minutes to wait before they had to do the next route or something like that. But I remember the girls being petrified. What is that bus there for? Are they going to take us to school? I was never one of these parents who threatened my girls either. You know, if you don't behave, I'm sending you to school. Having been in it as a teacher from the other side, I mean, I knew the difficulties and the challenges. I'm like, I'm never going to threaten you with that because, first of all, you'd know real quickly I'd never follow through with that. So that would not be good discipline. I would never even consider it. So what about challenges? Were there ever any challenges that made you feel like maybe we're not going to do this for the long haul?
I don't recall anything. Do you guys recall anything? I don't have any memory of anything particular. We were blessed not to have any major tragedies in our lives, you know, illnesses or any of those things that I know can affect homeschooling. Right. Mm-hmm. So just off the top of my head, I can't remember anything.
Well, I would ask is, you know, as I headed for college and we were in the senior years there, the sophomore, junior, and how did you know what the college was going to require me? Because I know I was scared of that. I wasn't sure if I was going to get accepted into college.
That's a really good question, especially back at the beginning of this.
Well, I did enough research, I guess, so that I knew. Plus, you had diplomas. Mm-hmm. And we had looked up, your dad and I had checked into a lot of schools and knew that you maybe wouldn't get into every school at that point in time because they did not want homeschoolers applying.
Unfortunately, back then, right?
Right.
Now,
right.
Pretty much everybody is very open about it. And
mm-hmm. Well, and so that was interesting because when I was touring schools, you know, they're asking for your GPA and what you graduated in your class. And so that was a really awkward conversation.
You were first in your classmate.
Yeah. Right, right.
I know.
Right.
But as mom said, I think I felt confident because at that time we went through it's the Moore Research Foundation, but it was Howard. I can't remember what their first name was. It was a joint name. But anyways, and I would have to submit my work every quarter. They would grade it because they're licensed and then, would send a diploma when I was done.
Okay. So a correspondent school or something.
Yeah, essentially. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that was because they wanted diplomas. They didn't want one.
Well, you could have created them.
Yeah, but they didn't want that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and then I'll jump in. So, but they didn't keep doing that because I remember with me, and I remember it was a little disconcerting because mom, you asked me, you said, what do you think? Can we just do it without the diploma? And you were asking me as if I knew something. And I was like, I guess we can try without, you know? And so it was like this great experiment. Are they going to accept me into college without a diploma? So. Okay. And I really was happy to say no to the idea of sending in stuff for somebody else to, you know, prove that I was doing the work. So we did it without a diploma with me.
Okay. So you didn't have a parent generated diploma, but you could have, I know that's part of our homeschool laws. You can create those documents,
right.
But
we never, for the schools you were applying to, we never needed to produce one.
Yep.
All right. And even back then they didn't care. I mean, you got in and how did you prove your worthiness for college? Then?
Yeah. Well, I graduated high school in 1999. So I already, there was a little more awareness of homeschooling, but yet, I was applying to several schools, but where I ended up going, the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, they were still very suspicious of that. So we did write up grades for everything, because prior to that, I was not assigned a letter grade, but we went back and did grades for all my courses. And then they wanted me to take not only the ACT, but SAT subject tests in addition I think I took the SAT as well. I can't remember now, but then they wanted subject tests to prove that I could do various things. So I did take the SAT twos back then to prove that I could, knew something beyond how to take a test like the ACT.
Interesting. All right. So one of the things that people always want to know about is how do homeschool graduates turn out? You know, none of you is living under a bridge. I know that full well. But if you guys could tell each of you your post-secondary stories, you know, what you did right after high school and what you're doing now.
Sure. So I'll start. Yeah. So immediately after high school, I went to Taylor University. They had two campuses at the time. The Upland one was full. That was their main campus. And then they had just bought a Bible college that had gone under in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So I went to that campus for a year. After that, I decided I had to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Sometimes it takes a while, right?
It does. It does. And so during that time, I just kind of worked different jobs, learning different. Because that's the one thing, you know, we mom and dad were great at is emphasizing life skills. Yeah. So all throughout homeschooling, it wasn't just the book learning that we needed, but also how to cook, how to clean, the laundry, the, you know, all those things of just, you know, learning how to handle your business growing up, which was great. You know, that really helped me succeed. And so then, you know, I ended up going to a community college, eventually ended up with a nursing degree, Bachelor of Science in Nursing, earned my master's degree as a nurse educator. And now, as you know, I'm working on my MDiv at Covenant Theological Seminary.
You really don't like learning, do you?
I try to avoid it at all costs. So no, but it's definitely been a journey to get to this point. But I would say, I think I probably more than Josh and Matt had the hardest time adjusting to college life right out of high school, but I wouldn't put that on mom and dad. That's just more just who I was as opposed to what I went through growing up.
Mm-hmm. And so you've been working though as a nurse basically your whole adult life.
Yeah.
Once you got your degree.
Yeah. So. It took me, I think, 7 years to get my degree post high school, but yeah, nurse since then.
Mm-hmm. Took me a long time too. And I wasn't homeschooled. So.
Yeah. I was just saying, you've done administration and stuff too. I mean, like,
yeah, but in healthcare.
Like healthcare.
Oh yeah. Right. For sure. Working I've had the opportunity to lead companies. I did a startup in Green Bay for a hospice. I was able to work my way up from, you know, a clinical director to the director to administrator, eventually to an executive director role for a large health organization in this area, and led the hospice and home health program for the state of Wisconsin through them. So yeah, nursing has been a great platform for me. A lot of different avenues I've been able to accomplish. So
yeah. Wow. Josh.
My path is a little less winding than Nate's, I think. I was very focused on music. I played the violin
still do beautifully.
I was initially going to pursue that as a career. I think that actually, just backtracking a little bit to the college admission thing, I think it had actually helped back then to have the kind of the music entree to the school I was, because I went to a very, I went to Northwestern University for my freshman year, and I'm not sure what the admissions path would have been like if I didn't have the professor of violin saying, I want this person as my student, you know, which really helped, I think.
Yeah.
And then I transferred to University of Wisconsin-Madison for my sophomore year and graduated from there. I was going to do a master's so my degree was a Bachelor of Music, and I was going to do a master's in a different university, but shortly after, I sort of, I think, started to think, you know, what is my career really going to look like? You know, when I was graduating from undergrad as a classical musician in super competitive classical music world that is super competitive despite not paying very much. So, I'm looking at kind of, you know, student loans and all that sort of thing. So I ended up looking around a little bit to see what other alternatives there were, took an aptitude test and ended up going to law school. So then I went to University of Michigan Law School, and then Started working for, I clerked for a judge for a year, and then I started working at law firms, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Mm-hmm. Matt.
Yeah. So as I talked about earlier, there were these opportunities to do extracurriculars, and music was one of them, and it was played a big role in our family. So looking at Josh ahead of me, you know, and going into music, I thought, well, I love music too. And I really like this. So I, as you know, I play the harp, and that was what I was best at and really enjoyed it. So I started looking at music schools too. And that led me to the University of Michigan, where I had known the instructor there. And so that's what led me to apply there. I did apply at other schools too, and did get into multiple schools, but ended up doing the University of Michigan. So I also majored in music. I earned a Bachelor of Music at Michigan. And then from there, I was really still enjoying harp very much. And I then I went on to do my master's degree at the Juilliard School in New York. Wow. And that was a fantastic experience. It was just marvelous being in New York City and in that school and that environment and interacting with amazing musicians, world-class musicians. After that, I spent a year in Toronto going to a conservatory there. And I was working toward another degree there. But then kind of like Josh ahead of me, I started thinking about, okay, what does this mean for my career? And for me, it would mean going where the job was and various things that just didn't appeal to me. I really wanted to be home in Wisconsin and around family. And again, going back to those relationships that were so important, that's what I wanted to do. And so my path, I look at it and I think it is very winding, because then I ended up going back. I worked various jobs for several years after that in Wisconsin, but ended up going back to get a doctorate in physical therapy. So there was definitely a lot of years in there of schooling and then being done and then going back to school. So I did go back to school much later. So in 2016, I graduated with my doctorate in physical therapy, and now I'm doing that and just love it. And it's fantastic.
I didn't even know that about you. Wow. Oh. Julie, what about Jerusha?
She went to St. Norbert and got a bachelor's in English with a, what do they call it? When you focus on something, they call it
minor or emphasis.
Emphasis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Emphasis on creative writing. Mm-hmm. And she is a Christian novelist. Mm-hmm. And so she writes fiction and she writes devotions. Mm-hmm. And keeps very busy at that.
How many books has she published so far?
She had two come out this year. I think the total is five, maybe.
Yeah, it's five.
Five.
Wow. And she contributed to it another.
Oh, right? About four more, maybe. Yeah. So she's contributed to quite a few too.
I'll just plug it. Her latest book is Hidden Danger, right?
Right.
That, yes. Okay.
You know, we can put a link for that in the podcast notes too. So anything else that we could do that for the too. So it's impressive. And here's the thing, oftentimes we say academics aren't the only thing, and we know that you need to be a well-rounded individual, but you know, we've got musicians here and you like sports, Nate, all these different things, and Jerusha with her writing. And here we've got four children coming out of one family, and look at all the accomplishments though. And again, it's not just about career and academics, but who would have thought, maybe people would think, oh, at the beginning of the homeschool movement, can this family do anything? And look at this.
It's all by the grace of God.
Yeah. You know? Yes.
It for sure. Yeah. Most definitely. But the grace of God, your parents' diligence, yes. Mm-hmm. You guys being willing to comply and obey your parents and go along with it and apply yourselves and really go after the gifts that you knew that God had put into you, that your parents helped you to discover and I think really maximize, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
I think early on, just the approach from mom's reading and all the studying and research that she did, we were really blessed by that, because, you know, starting that business was just one aspect, but it taught us so much about, you know, working with people and handling money. And, you know, this was back in the day before the internet. So we're stuffing our catalog, our printed catalog, going to dad's office, running copies, the copier getting jammed, stapling, punching your finger with a staple, you know, paper cuts. Is your stuff in those envelopes. But, you know, it really was a blessing learning all those skill sets, you know, and having to deal with that. And though I can't emphasize that enough, that all those doors were there because we were homeschooled as opposed to being in the school. So it prepared us for way more than just the education.
You know, and just you mentioning this was pre-internet, I just think it must be so different homeschooling today. And I mean, maybe your experience kind of bridge that a little bit, like pre-internet to post-internet.
Yeah, it was out there when I was starting.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, okay.
But, you know, I didn't use a lot of online coursework for the girls because I'm just old enough that that seemed odd to me. Like, you don't want to have your kid on a computer all day long. It just seemed very strange to me. Now, a lot of the youngest homeschool families, they're even having like their 2 and 3 year olds on apps all the time. And I don't think that's necessarily wise. And I also think it's helpful to not get used to the internet, because what happens if the internet goes down?
Right.
I mean, so we did a few things. We did math for a little while. One of the math programs that we used is called Teaching Textbooks, and that was CD-ROM, but now it's online. And so we'd had a few things like that. Maybe I get to be that like pivot point time. Yeah. I don't know. What advice do all of you, any of you have for today's homeschooling families?
Before we get there, I do want to say too that it's been such a blessing to Nelson and I to have all our kids so involved in church.
Oh yes,
in all the guys are officers of in the church, and Jerusha has with some other people started Mercy Ministries, which serves people outside of our church, and so it's been such a blessing to not only have them succeed in what our culture and life is about, you know, earning a living and having degrees and helping people, but to be serving the Lord so well.
Well, and isn't that really the main thing?
It certainly is. Right?
you probably know this statistic, but Barna Research did a study not too long ago that's on Christian families, you know, what happens with the kids spiritually, depending on the various schooling aspects. And they determined that 85% of kids who come from Christian homes when they go to public school abandon the Lord by high school graduation.
Wow.
That's before they even go to college. Private school is less, but it was still rather significant. I don't remember. And then for homeschool graduates, 4%.
Wow.
So, you know, homeschooling doesn't save, Jesus saves. No, but if you don't have the interference, if you have much more time to be intentional about developing that spiritual life in your kids, and I mean, evidence shows it, that it works for spiritual reasons too.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Advice for today's homeschooling families.
Don't hesitate to try, because it might be the greatest blessing you've ever known.
I don't know if we can top that, but guys.
Yeah, I know, right?
Should have saved that for last,
right?
Yeah.
I would say for me, you know, just based on my experience, that I think you think it's difficult, but, you know, I'm convinced that a mom's greatest calling is teaching and training her children. And what better way to do that? Through homeschooling. So if there's any way possible to do it, because there's so much support out there now, both in curriculum and in the socialization aspects, like we talked about, but also just the support for the mom and the dad as they go through that journey together. But I would definitely encourage families to do it.
Josh and Matt, anything to add?
Well, I guess, I don't know if this is advice, but I would just, the one thing I, thinking back about over the course of homeschooling, one thing that might've been helpful for me to hear was, I think there were times when I thought, interacting with my peers, you know, there's something I don't know because they've been in public school. And so there's this sort of, area of knowledge that I don't have. So can I ever relate to them on a truly equal basis? And as I've got, you know, as I've now been out of school for many years, I realized, you know, that's not at all the case. You're not, you know, we're all human beings and have essentially the same kind of experiences, you know, good or bad. A slightly different context between the public school and private, but there's no sort of secret knowledge that you're missing out on because you weren't in school. And I don't, maybe I'm the only person who had that kind of anxiety as a kid, but I just want to, if anyone has that, I just want to reassure you that you're not missing out if you're homeschool.
Maybe some of the things they're missing out on are worth missing out on too.
Yeah, there
right?
you go.
And I guess for me, I would just add that if a person listening to this is thinking of homeschooling and just keeping that flexibility. And I think even from student to student, right? Like one of your children may need a ton of structure and another one can't stand the structure and you got to adjust. And I think just, you know, and maybe for some people this is obvious, but I think that as you go into homeschooling, recognizing each of your children is going to be different. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what mom and dad did really well with us, is recognizing that each of us were different. We had different needs, needed to look a little bit different. Yeah. Overall, I was pretty much the same, but, you know, changing and adjusting to each of us, I think it helps you get through some harder years and then, you know, makes the time a lot more enjoyable for everybody to be flexible.
Any parting thoughts? Anything that you want to say that we haven't talked about yet?
I have 4 great kids and I love them.
Amen to that. Guys, I think you could say you have 2 wonderful parents.
Right? You beat me to it. Yes. Yeah. We have 2 wonderful parents and we love them very much. We're very grateful for the homeschool.
All right. You guys have all heard it here first. The Agin family, soon to be famous from the Homeschool Loftcast podcast episode. But I want you to listen to what they've said. Replay this if you need to multiple times, because this family was on the cutting edge. They didn't know it at the time, but they were on the cutting edge of the modern homeschool movement. And they not only survived, they thrived. They're thriving now. And if they could do it so well when there were so few resources and support compared to now, you certainly can do it. You are equipped. Where you feel ill-equipped, that's where you get to stretch your faith, and that's where God will fill in the gaps. We all have gaps. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. If you feel called, as Julie said, try it. You'll like it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone. And we're so glad that you're listening. Tune in next time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.